Felix, can you hear me out there? Anybody?
I can hear you.
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, everyone.
Hello there.
Waiting for Tony to call in, I think. Felix, are you on?
I'm on.
All right. Oh, yeah, he just called me. He had to, I think, a wrong digit or something. So. Hey, Tony, have you got on yet? How about our clerk's office? Are you anybody on from the clerks?
We're here, Luis, Joseph and I.
Thanks, Peach. How about the assessor's office? You might have to star six to unmute.
I'm here, thank you.
And treasurer's office, Donna. And you might have to star six, Donna, if you're on mute. And Tony, did you get on?
I'm on.
Let me see if we get a hold of Donna and see what's going on here. Right. All right, I spoke to Donna. She's had some complications. She's dialing in now. We'll wait for her to get on the line.
In the meantime, Chairman, we have our Sheriff Derek Navarrete online as well, I believe. We welcome, there's Commissioner Gerald Cisneros from Huerfano County.
I can't hear, I don't see that. So yeah, please chime in whenever you see somebody like that, because I don't have my computer on, I'm just on the phone.
Yeah, we have Ms. Gonzalez from the Health Department. We have Ms. Chavez, Emergency. Welcome Aaron Ogletree from the City of Trinidad.
Thank you.
There are some other public community individuals. Welcome to this phone call. Let me see who else do we have here. Christy, Mr. Patrick Sandoval. We're from the Journal, Mr. William Knowles, Tom Beach from the City of Trinidad, and several others. Michael Aragon, welcome. Sarah Martinez, welcome.
Chairman Lopez, Trinidad Ambulance is also represented.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you say that again.
Trinidad Ambulance, David Trey with Trinidad Ambulance as well.
Oh, welcome. Thank you. Do we have Donna on yet?
Good afternoon, Commissioners.
Good afternoon, hello. Commissioner.
I am here.
All right, they've got everybody. All right, today is 1:07 p.m., April 24th. We'll call this meeting work session to order. Commissioner Haas, would you please lead us in an invocation?
Dear God, cover and protect all essential workers and give strength and patience to those still in place. Give your wisdom to our leaders. We ask for comfort to families who've lost loved ones, and we ask for your guidance to families struggling to provide. We are eager for this to end, and we know it will be you that pulls us out. In your holy name, amen. Amen.
Commissioner Lopez, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Haas?
Here.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
I am here. Approval of the agenda. Any changes or additions, subtractions?
No, the agenda is good to go.
Entertain a motion, please.
Move
for a motion to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Item A, discussion regarding the COVID soft opening for our facilities. I guess we can start with you, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioners, we're not at that point yet for opening up the courthouse or any other of our county facilities, but I think it's a discussion we need to have sooner rather than later until we're right up against the time clock. So I'd like to open up thoughts about what we foresee as our needs and a process by when we do open up, how we handle public, et cetera, and what the elected officials think they may need in their respective offices to protect not only their employees, but the public also.
Commissioners, this is Pam. I just want to chime in here really quickly to kind of echo what Phil said, but also to just clarify, because I think there's some confusion in the community when we talk about opening and soft openings. What is on the agenda today is pretty much the only piece that you as commissioners have power over, and that is whether or not or how you proceed with, when it's appropriate, opening county buildings. I think some people are under the misconception that the commissioners have the authority to open up businesses within the county or to open the county itself, which as I'm pretty sure that you're aware that that's not our authority as the Board of County Commissioners. That authority rests strictly and solely with the health department. That is statutorily given to them, and that is their authority to proceed. We can determine and have only been able to and have only been determining what we do with our county buildings and our employees that we have. So I just want to clarify that for anyone who may be listening. The board itself has not made these decisions. The board itself has not had any hand in the decisions as far as the public health orders that have come out from Ms. Gonzalez or how we proceed under that effect. We do not have that authority statutorily. We cannot override the health department. We cannot direct the health department in what to do. What I have heard from the board consistently this entire time is that we are supporting the health department, which I think has been a good stance. But I just want to clarify today, you are just considering how we proceed once the health department has allowed businesses to open or has allowed us to make that step, what should be in place. I believe Ms. Gonzalez is on the line, so I would ask at some point for her to tell us what she thinks should be in place within our facilities. And then I would ask, or I think we should then ask the elected officials if they have that stuff in place or what they need our help with getting those things in place so that when we open the only thing we have control over, our buildings, that we are doing it in compliance with the health department, in compliance in a way that keeps our Los Angeles County employees safe and our public safe.
Thank you, Mrs. Nelson. That is exactly our position. We were asked by our other elected officials if they could have some input on when we are able to open, how we would do that, and how to protect our employees and their staff. And I believe our clerk and recorder's office has already started that process. And maybe we go with the Peach's office to give us indication of what they have prepared and planning, and to see then once that is discussed, open it up to the health department to see if that would be proper and also safe for when we do get to the point for soft opening. So with that said, Mr. Vigil, would you like, or Mr. Messis, would you like to give us the information of what you guys are prepared to do?
Thank you, Luis. This is Peach. We met with Mr. Breedlove from Envy Designs the other day. He came up, did the measurements. He's going to install the framing and the polycarbonate material in order to protect our employees from the public when they come in. We opted to go away from the speaker module that can be inserted inside of the material, being that we have such high ceilings, it's not real hard to hear across. So we tried to cut a little bit there. It'll go across from the recording computer where you walk into the main lobby door, all the way across and back to the corner where Joseph's motor vehicle desk is, and then onto the wall that frames the door to the back office. We talked about making some adjustments for our public recording stations so that when people come in to research documents, we're able to mitigate them having to come inside of the back office to do that. We talked with Hayden this morning, or Joseph did, I should say, And he said it shouldn't be a problem to run the wiring to accommodate those workstations to be inside of the main lobby rather than behind the counter. And what my concern was is if they print off copies without paying for them, we decided we would place a printer inside of the old cage where we used to run the cash register, so that if people do come in to pay or retrieve copies, then we're able to catch them on the way out because we will have the printer behind our wall. That's not in a direct effect to COVID, but that's just our adjustment as to keeping them as far away from our staff as possible. Same thing in the elections office. That's going to be real easy. It's just the one counter, and they're going to cut a slit into it for the ballot box that we usually have on the end of the counter so that people can still drop ballots if they choose to come in to the office here to do so. Another thing we thought about was trying to mitigate people following the 10-foot rule and the 6-foot rule. Joseph has ordered some chain link barriers, not chain link, I mean, it's real simple, but it's just designed to cut pathways to the direct counter. We decided that we can't have more than 3 people at a time, especially with staffing in the office to process paperwork. So the rest will have to remain at the door, and from there we plan to put signage, which again we can use MV designs to create those that address the 10 people rule and the 6-foot rule, so that if we can't accommodate everyone who's in line when we do open the doors, we want 3 people in the lobby by themselves and the rest out in the hall following the 6-foot rule. Now, I don't know how that's going to complicate matters as they come in to take care of other business in the courthouse, but that's just kind of a lead that we chose to take and give some ideas. The pricing is very affordable, and I believe I briefed you on that on the last conference call. So just going from there, they're going to come up next week, and depending on when you decide to do the soft opening or whatever your decision is, we plan to be prepared to open the doors.
Thank you. Mrs. Gonzalez, do you have any comments to add to that?
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me on. I do have some best practices or protocols that we probably should look at between worksites, employees, and customers. Those are the key 3 components that we really need to look at when we are looking at the possibility of soft opening. So going forward with your worksites, I agree, signage is a big piece of this, making sure that the customers as well as the staff understands what's expected from each other. I would also make sure that you have somebody in your workplace who is designated to addressing any concerns within each department or each office for this COVID-19 issues. Making sure you have, with that workplace, also make sure you have that 6-foot separation when possible, and discourage any shared workplaces. Making sure you frequently are sanitizing after each person is in and out of that office, which goes back to, I would really recommend only 1 in and 1 out and not having people gathered in those offices. I wouldn't do trying to get 10 people in there. I would really precaution and do 1 in and 1 out and sanitize after they've been in and out. Ensure there's proper ventilation in your offices. And that more guidance is coming with regard to what that means, whether it's opening a window, having specific isolation, the air HVAC units. We're trying to get more on that. It's important to have workplace protocols in place with regard to the screening tools of your employees. You need to screen your employees coming in and out of your offices before they start and after they start their work, as well as keeping track of who is coming in and out as a customer. You need a log there. So if somebody does come down with COVID in your office, you have that log sheet of who was in that office as well as who was a customer for that day, so we can easily track that. You need to eliminate any common spaces that's shared between individuals, or make sure that they are wiped down after each individual, which includes condiments, coffee makers, vending machines, anything like that, computers. With regard to the records with the machine people can get on, really think about if that's something that can be done online with these people right now. Is it a necessity? I would still work with what is critical to your business to operate in the month of May. We don't know what May is going to look like, so be very cautious. Now, going with the employees, regular employees are still or still should look that if they are sick, they should not be coming to work. If they have signs of sickness, it doesn't matter what type of sickness, they shouldn't be coming to work. Making sure that you have still a flexible remote work schedule. We are not going to be allowing 100% of that workforce going back. It's still 50%, as the governor said. Still said making sure anybody can stay home and work from home if possible. I know that's hard in some of your entities and what you guys do with the systems. So then for there, you may not want to go to staggered work schedules so that you guys are not all there at the same time. Making sure you provide hand washing facilities as well as hand sanitizer. It's encouraged to take more regular breaks to wash your hands and use hand sanitizer. It's also encouraged to have different shifts or different break times. People should not be going at the same time. How is it going to look for your entities to provide protective gear, which includes gloves, mask, facial coverings, and how do you encourage the appropriate use of those within your facilities? That's something for you guys to look at also. Going to the customer side, you may want to look at creating special hours for that vulnerable population to come in so that they are not mixed in with that regular laid community. Setting some specific hours for those customers. Encourage that 6-foot distancing, making sure you have decals on the floors, barriers, signage, so that the people understand that you guys are following that social distancing protocol. Encourage the use of gloves, masks, and facial coverings for your customers coming forward, not just to protect them, but to protect the staff. Provide hand sanitizer upon entrance and exit. Like you're doing, installing those shields or barriers where there's that employee and employer contact. I think that's a key piece right there for that droplet protection. And then making sure, if at all possible, contactless payment solutions, no touch trash cans, making sure that you are not coming in contact as much as possible with stuff that is coming from employee to customers. I know with some of the stuff you guys do, it's going to be critical that you have to take paperwork. Wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer right after you touch that, because this virus lives on surfaces. And I think that's all I have for right now, if there's any questions. I know that was a lot. Also, with the courthouses, those bathrooms and break rooms need to be wiped down excessively.
Thank you, Mrs. Gonzalez. I believe Mr. Dorenkamp had mentioned to me recently that we are bringing on another person to assist in the cleaning and wiping of the handles and doors throughout the courthouse throughout the days when we unveil this soft opening. So
Commissioner, I need to stress too, as you and Kim both pointed out, we are not at that point of soft opening yet. We're just anticipating when that comes to be, what we're going to be doing.
Yes, thank you. Now I'll call on the Treasurer's Office, Mrs. Leonetti. Any thoughts or concerns with what we just were instructed from the Health Department? And you might be muted.
Are you on mute? Now we can hear you.
I think you're unmuted, Donna. Donna?
You on your computer, are you unmuted?
You're unmuted. We can hear you.
Okay. Talking to your computer, Donna.
Sarah, I think we can hear you. Have her talk into yours.
It's okay. Okay. Come over here, Donna. They're hearing us over here. Come over here.
Okay. I am here.
We can hear you.
Okay. Sounds good. What I was wondering is if the company that PeachDot, how do they know what type of material that we need, or is it like any type of specifications that we need to know on that, like for Jody's office and my office? How do we know what to tell them that we need this stuff, or do they know already what we would need in place?
Donna, this is Peach. Joseph had a conversation with Mr. Breedlove just about that. We went with the polycarbonate material and because we thought it was the best choice besides glass and plastic. Plastic just gets ruined over time and gets scratches and it looks, you know, you get what you pay for eventually, but the polycarbonate still is a bulletproof caliber. So the only issue right now we're looking at is the spread of germs. So we went just a little bit of an extra level. And again, that was still the lowest bid from any of the other companies downtown. And like I said, if you guys maybe want to jump in on that deal and we can make a contract for the county as a whole, we might be able to save a little bit of money as well as the signage, like Kim mentioned, the footsteps on the floor. Though that said, I'll say we've tried that a thousand just to mitigate other issues. But whatever it takes to put these things in place and make people understand, I don't think we ever really will. But that's where we came up with the polycarbonate material.
Mrs. Gonzalez, would that material be sufficient in the health department?
I think it will be. And I think even if you did plastic, but you know, if you're looking at down the road later on too, like Peaches is saying, you know, that may be a better material to go with. But you know, I would also try and encourage still, if you guys can still do drop-offs outside with your drop boxes and just do the payments like that, or and still operate as much no contact and limit as many people coming into the facility as possible.
Absolutely. We'll continue to do that as soon as we get whatever decision from the board. And as you mentioned earlier, we have a lot of resources that are online, and we're still in the middle of the project of archiving the old documents. So really, people coming in to search public records are, it's not, you know, nobody can leave their town or their county at this point anyway. But when we do, if we get a whole bunch of title companies from Denver coming down and wanting materials that are not yet available online, we do have to have a way to accommodate them.
And Peaches, with regard to that, I was just on a call with the state, The governor will be pushing in his order coming out this weekend. Travel restrictions and not to cross county lines and to be only within 10 miles of your residence for non-essential. And to limit as much cross-jurisdictional as possible. That is going to be a key piece to containing the virus and not that community spread. So I think your title workers will probably be contacting you and trying to do this remotely versus coming in person, because I think that's part of the real estate portion coming out in the buckets also.
Oh, right. And we already do have that in place. So title companies, banks, and most of the metro facilities do use the IDOC market website. However, only goes back to 1995, and the project that we're currently working on to digitize the records that go prior to that is still a work in progress. So there are times when they may have to come in, and we're trying to accommodate them by phone call as much as we can. So in the meantime, what we're doing is trying to handle them on a case-by-case basis. We still have the issue with the marriage licenses, and just depending on what the governor decides going forward and what you guys decide per resolution as a board, we're just going to work with what we have and kind of try to roll with the flow to get to where we need to be. But in the meantime, if in fact there is ever a hard opening, at least everyone is prepared or somewhat protected. Now, in regards to the PPE, like Kim, you said encourage the use of, but we all know that that's half the battle. So I don't know. I mean, we can offer hand sanitizer if it's available at the door when you walk in, when you walk out. There's no way that we're going to be able to provide masks for them. The gloves, just little things like that. I see that as a problem. And I think the softer that we open one at a time, this is my personal opinion. There are those people who believe that we're hurting the economy because we're not accommodating the small businesses. But I think when we look at the numbers, and sure, they're a little bit not as bad as they could be right now, but if it gets worse and we keep going and we do multiply those numbers by tens of thousands, I think just opening one door at a time is probably the best solution. And I would hope that's what the people at the legislature are encouraging, as well as the governor. So it's kind of, you know, you get stuck in the middle because you're never going to please everybody. Not everyone is going to be happy. That is a life rule in our jobs.
And Peach, I think that some of those concerns you just mentioned regarding the public coming in can possibly be handled with Sheriff Navarrete and his security staff of folks coming in, that they may be required to be wearing a mask. I think that we can do that through your office, Derek. Would that be an issue for you?
You mean the people coming into the courthouse would have to be? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you could make a requirement that they. It's in the order of the governor that anyone else running around, I believe I read it this morning, is putting his new one out, they'll be required to wear a mask at all times when out in public. We can possibly enforce that at the door or turn them away, right?
We should be able to at least advise them of how to proceed up into the floors where they need to be. We could look at that and make sure they're wearing something or however the rules have to be in the courthouse. We can probably get that across to them.
Okay, and that be the order through the governor and our health department so we can help protect people. So thank you. Donna, any other questions that you might have and concerns? I think what we can do is have you get with Mr. Dorenkamp and take some suggestions from him to see how we can move forward in your office. But do you have any other questions regarding that, Donna?
Yeah, well, one more question, or not a question, a suggestion. Joanne Montero from upstairs was also interested in joining us with that procedure. And maybe the more that we get in there, maybe they can give us a good discount on.
Yeah, we have to be cautious of a county. Our bid procurement process still has to be held. That we're very careful that we do not go deviate from that policy that we have in place. So, but yeah, that's a great idea that maybe each entity can get better bids and hopefully pricing can drop. However, we still have to go out and get bids. So if we go that route, unless we do it in-house, just a reminder of that.
Commissioner,
yeah, I understand that. She asked me and I said that we were looking into it, but we didn't know where to go from here either.
Commissioner, I'd like to interject if I can. Donna, whatever product you guys decide to use, be sure that it's as smooth as possible, that it isn't, that it doesn't have slight porous areas or any imperfections that can hold any kind of droplets, because crews will be coming by and try and clean those quite frequently, as Kim Gonzalez had mentioned we should.
Okay, thank you. Mrs. Amato, are you on?
Yes, I am on.
You have the floor.
Thanks. This morning I had Commissioner Lopez, the Chairman Lopez, come in and look at my office, because I don't have a counter like the clerk and recorders or the treasurers. We have a makeshift counter, but it's not sturdy. So that's something, as I've alluded to in my emails to Kim and to Phil, and I think Paula was involved. My office is going to be a little different, because we're going to need maybe some woodworking fabrication, a wall built, something of that nature. That's why I had requested that maintenance come up and maybe take a look to see what we can do to accommodate, to make sure that the public is safe and to make sure that my staff is safe. We do a lot of interaction. We've always done a lot of interaction with the elderly, especially when it comes to seniors and veterans exemptions and things of that nature. So I want to make sure that we are protecting them. I think maybe having a set time for that specific age group that would probably be best. And maybe that's something we have to look at as a county as a whole. When it comes to the hand washing stations and the hand sanitizer, hopefully maintenance can get some more of that so we can offer that to the public. I think Peach's idea of having the spacing on the floor is excellent. I would recommend, hopefully, that we as a county as a whole, we all have the same signage. That way it's familiar no matter what office you go to. Hopefully the public is getting aware, but you, like Peach said, you can't, the public is the public and they're going to do what they want. But if we have the same signage, I think that makes it a little easier in conveying the safety message throughout the building, in my opinion. We do have one common computer where when we get back to being open to the public, for those, we do have to have it open. My office is doing as much as we can, pretty much everything right now via the internet. All of my data is out on our website. Where I have an issue is like May. May is coming up. It is statutorily the protest period for all assessors. We're having meetings as the CAA trying to figure out how we are going to handle the interaction between assessors and taxpayers and protesters, because May is very important for us when we physically have to go inspect a property. How we're going to handle that, if we're going to handle that, what's the legality of it on the back end, whether we do or we don't, we're kind of in uncharted territory right now. As I requested on Tuesday, if I do have to go out and inspect a home, I'm going to need PPE for myself or for any other appraiser I send out there, which we don't have any. That's one of my main concerns. And if we don't go out, then it sets off another chain reaction down the line as far as protest and valuation goes. So I'm hoping to have a little more direction on that by midweek, because May 1st is the beginning of our protest period. And we're going to have an extensive protest period just because of the COVID situation right now. People and businesses are hurting, and they're trying to eliminate any expense that they can, which is understandable. We're still working a split shift. I have half my staff coming in one day. The other day, they're working from home. Hopefully, I got to check and see. I'm hoping to obtain some more computers so my staff, we can more efficiently work from home. I'm going to need some help when it comes to putting up the plexiglass, because I just, as Luis can attest to, we've got kind of a unique situation.
Yes, thank you, Jody. And I think that the PPE that you might be needed can, we can reach out to Emergency Manager Kim Chavez to see what we have available for those types of issues that you may be having if you need to go out and do an assessment. Also, the BOE, you know, or Board of Equalization, I think, and Pam and Jody, maybe you guys can work on this together, moving forward with the Assessors Association and see how they're going to look into doing that. But I don't see why we couldn't do Zoom for the protests like we've done in person before. I don't know if there's a state statute that won't allow that at this time, but if you would please investigate that for us and then get back to us on that issue there so we can move forward with those protesting. And then also, if the seniors that come in for their tax credit, is there a way online they can do that as of now? And I know some of these elderly folks do not have computers, or is there a way we can simplify that? That might be something you can look into as well moving forward before we get to that point. So those are just some comments I have on that. And then I believe if we get with Donna and Jody, if you get with Mr. Dorenkamp, and he can kind of give you some instruction on how to move forward in getting your offices prepared, along with the information we'll keep getting from the health department, we'll make sure we keep you apprised of that and your offices, what's happening. Peach and Joseph, I think you guys are right on track. I believe we did approve that money to get that going for you, so hopefully that gets installed soon, and we'll see how that looks. So now I'd like to go on to Sheriff Navarette and his concerns. I believe we're doing the same thing down at the jail, correct, Sheriff?
Yeah, we haven't been having visitors for inmates. We have been receiving people into our lobbies, but we've been taking our precautions that we have since this started. So that hasn't been a too big of an issue for us. So I don't think much would change if we do a little opening. We'd have to decide on how many visitors that could come in, but I don't think it's gonna be that big of an issue over here. We actually did put in a plan to put a security glass prior to all this. So that will double for security as well as this virus issue, so we won't be in contact with the public as much. They come to the window instead of having to come into the office. But other than that, I think we're pretty good over here when we're ready to do this.
Yeah, thank you, Sheriff. I know we were working, I don't know if anyone from the district attorney's office is on. We have anyone from the DA's office? Okay. Any other elected official, any concerns for your offices at this time? How about our staff? Any of our administration office have any concerns?
Luis, it's Kim Chavez. I just wanted to point out that I sent out an email on Tuesday that I have masks in my office that they can come and check them out for their staff. And Brandy has also brought me some gloves so they can come check those out as well. Also, Brandy is in the process of ordering us some hand sanitizer for entryways, so we're moving right along with the planning phases so that we are prepared whenever our soft opening does happen.
Okay, sounds like we're getting somewhere. And again, I will reiterate what Ms. Nelson said earlier. We are at the disposal of the health department. We will follow their orders and their recommendations. when an emergency declaration has been declared in our emergency operation plan. In this particular pandemic, the incident commander is the health department in connection with the Office of Emergency Management. They work hand in hand to the Board of County Commissioners. And I'd just like to reiterate the fact that this time we are simply a big cheerleading team for the health department and all the health officials, our first responders, our medical professionals, our ambulance, our firefighters at this time, and hoping and praying they stay safe. We are just preparing ourselves to get moving forward and wanting to make sure our county employees and elected officials and offices are safe when this does happen. So I think that was the intention of today's meeting and conversation. And if there's anything else from one of our
Chairman, this is Tony. Has anybody addressed our VSO to see if Ray has any concerns or needs for his office with those elderly vets?
No, I don't think we have, Tony. It's a good point. I will give Mr. Odom a call, and we'll talk to him about his concerns, and I'll advise him to do the same thing with Donna and Jody, to get with Mr. Dorenkamp, and they can instruct him how to move forward. Well, that's a great point. Thank you. Commissioner Lopez, anything?
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay, well, if that's all we've got today, then I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, everyone, and have a great weekend.